So we are beginning a new teaching series today. Amen. That's very dear to my heart. It's on the gospel. Can you say after me, this gospel? And the teaching series is called This Gospel, and in bracket or subtopic, the man, the message, and the mandate. And when we say the man, we are referring to Jesus Christ, because the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? This gospel, the man, the message, and the mandate. But today, we are giving an introduction to the entire series, and I've titled it Gospel-Centric. And basically, I want to answer the question, why should we be serious about the gospel? There are many reasons, but I think one of the popular reasons is that most people have not heard the gospel. I am telling you, there are churches that from January to December, they don't hear the gospel. You ask an average Christian, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? And some of them are lost. The ones that try say, he died for me. That's the gospel. Jesus died for me. And is that true? Very true. That's correct. But that is not all of the gospel. Are you getting this? Why should we be serious about the gospel? Or in other words, why should we be conscious of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Father, in the name of Jesus, open our eyes this morning. Open our eyes this morning. Open our eyes this morning. Amen. Do something to our hearts this morning. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, do something. In the name of Jesus. Can you say after me, I love you, Jesus. Why must I be conscious of the gospel? Why? Too many people see the gospel of Jesus as a nice story about Jesus to make people like God. They say, okay, in the Old Testament, God seems to be very wicked. And in the New Testament, Jesus came to just make him look like a nice guy. So I'm going to look at some scriptures to explain to you why. But first of all, I will give you a definition of the gospel. I know I've given you many definitions of the gospel, but this one is a general definition in this sense. The gospel is the message of Jesus, who he is, what he came to do, or what he has done. Let me start again. The gospel is the message of Jesus, who he is, and what he came to do. The gospel is the message of Jesus. By now, you should be coming to services with your book, your biro, your writing materials, your Bible. And if it's a digital writing material, you should maybe a tab, or make sure you are writing something. The gospel is the message of Jesus, who he is, and what he came to do, or what he has done in brackets. And it is the revelation of the true story of man, where he is coming from, his purpose, and his destiny. Every time I prepare to teach things like this, I spend time praying. Most of the night, I was praying, oh God, let them understand. Open their eyes to understand. I was praying, because when you're talking about things like this, you need a revelation from God. Your eyes have to be open spiritually. So I will say it again. The gospel is the message of Jesus, who he is, what he came to do, or what he has done, and it is the revelation of the true story of man, where he is coming from, his purpose, and his destiny. I will say it one more time. The gospel is the message of Jesus, who he is, and what he came to do, or what he has done, and it is the revelation of the true story of man, where he is coming from, his purpose, and his destiny. Say amen. So quickly, Why must I be conscious of the gospel? Everybody open to 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1 to 2. If you know the full name of this church, let me see your hand. What's the full name of this church? What's the full name of this church? Okay. Newbury Christian Community, the perfecting church. You know, when the Lord called about 6 years ago or 7 years ago, one of my struggles was, what do I want to do? What do you want me to do that you are not doing already? And the Lord began to show me how there are people who live and die and never become what He has planned for them to become. Then I began to see in Ephesians chapter 4, He gave unto some apostles, pastors, prophets, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. For the saints to actually grow spiritually. The Lord began to remind me of how I changed. I was not always like this. There was a point in my life where I was questioning everything about God, Christ, the church. And I began to read the Bible. And the scales from my eyes fell. Are you with me? I look back and that's the best decision ever. Are you getting this? So we are called the perfecting church for this reason. See, no matter what we teach, even if we talk about your miracle, your breakthrough, your signs and wonders, which by the grace of God we have been abundantly blessed with. Let me tell you something. Something some of you don't know. There is no miracle in the ministry of Jesus that has not happened in this ministry. From the raising of the dead, I think the only one we have not seen is the blind, the deaf, the dumb, crutches, wheelchairs, none. But you see this subject of perfecting the saints, we can't play games around it. Because that's what makes you different from every other religious practice. What are you learning? How are you growing? 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1. It says, 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1 to verse 2. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. Come read with me, 1 to 3, go. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 2. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. What does this verse mean? You know, I was going to read a verse to you, but because of time. You know, Jesus said, not one jot or tittle of the word of God will pass away until they be fulfilled. That means everything you see in the Bible has serious consequences. There is nothing in the Bible that is just there for the sake of being there. Are you with me? Now, what does this verse mean? It says, by which also you are saved. So the gospel is the reason why you are saved, or it is the message that saves. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. What does that mean? According to this verse, if the gospel is not in your consciousness, you are not saved. Are you getting this? If we check you, if we get you to talk for a whole day and the gospel is not something that is sacrosanct to you, the gospel is not something that is so strong in your consciousness, the gospel is not something that we can trace to you, there is something wrong. That's what it's saying. Because I know, even during the word programming, you hear statements like, new breed, we emerge for the gospel. And I'm sure somebody will be wondering, what are they talking about? More cities and nations are taken for the gospel. What are they talking about? All these resources we need for the spread of the gospel is supplied. Why are they so particular on the gospel, the gospel, the gospel? You can see it now. He's saying that
If the gospel is not sacrosanct to you, if the gospel has not forged your consciousness, if we trace you and check what is vital to you, what is important to you, and we cannot find the gospel there, he's saying you are believed in vain or you are not even saved at all. Can I tell you something? Something that I will teach later. Some people may be hearing it for the first time. Every born-again child of God is going to heaven. Listen. There is no born-again child of God going to hell. Nobody who is going to, who is saved is going to hell. But be sure you are saved. Are you getting me? So, they say heaven will be full of surprises. Well, not the surprises you are thinking about. Are you saved in the first place? Because if you are saved, there are things the Bible says that will happen. One of these is that the gospel will be in your memory. See, it will so take over you. They will even be asking you, your friends will be asking you, what's the matter? Do you want to become a pastor? The goal of this service is to make you conscious of the gospel. Say after me, I'm conscious of the gospel. We call it gospel-centric. Gospel-centered. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Say after me, I'm blessed. Romans chapter 1 from verse 16 to verse 17. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 1 from verse 16. Can we read 1, 2, 3, go? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Are you seeing that we have been talking about faith since? The gospel and faith are intertwined together. So he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So you can be praying, oh God, save me, oh God, save me, oh God, save me. If you have not heard the gospel and surrendered to the gospel, you will not be saved. It is the power of God. That's how God saves a man. For instance, there was a man called Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He was a good man, but he was not saved. He was giving alms. He was even praying to be saved. And God came to him through an angel and said, Cornelius, Cornelius, we have seen your good works. Ah, my God, there's so much to explain about this. We have seen your good works, but you are not saved. I'm going to send a man called Peter. He will come from Joppa and preach to you to be saved. Now, before I talk about that a little, let me talk about good works. Some people think that Christianity is not fair. How can a person be righteous, doing all the good things, and if he does not believe in Jesus Christ, he's going to hell, or he's going to be judged, or he's not going to be saved? Can't my good works outclass my bad works? Are you getting this? Have you had thoughts like that? Let me explain to you. So they say, if your good works can outdo your bad works, then you will be saved. If you have a bottle of clean water. So, give me this bottle of water. Let me show something. If you have a bottle of water, your good works, right? So, let's assume this whole bottle is filled up with good works. And I take just a pinch of a child's urine. Or a pinch. Just a pinch of a child's poo-poo. Listen to this. As bad works. And put inside this bottle. I know someone saying, ew. And put inside this bottle and shake it together. So much that you cannot even see the urine, or you see the poo-poo or something. Does that now make the poo-poo clean? It makes the water bad. Who just got what I said? So, as small as that bad works is put into this jar of good works. Do you see now that even the smallest bad works will contaminate all your good works? So you cannot come with good works to God and say, Lord, look at my good works. Look at all I've done. Because of all this good I've done, you should ignore this bad I've done. No. God, just the same way you cannot accept the water any longer, God cannot accept you any longer. There has to be, are you with me? For you to accept this water, there has to be a different water entirely. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. God has to do something completely. Are you following this? Please. God bless you. Shout at me, I'm blessed. And so he spoke to Cornelius. You need to hear the gospel and be saved. He said, I've seen your good works. I've seen your arms. I'm even seeing your prayers. But you must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ to be saved. And you must not just hear it, you must hear it, surrender to it. If anyone will be saved, he must hear the gospel. Are you seeing why this thing is serious to us? When you make plans for your life, you have to plan for the gospel. When you plan for your marriage, when you plan for your future, when you plan for your relocation, you have to be thinking, how will this impact the gospel of Jesus Christ? How will this impact the gospel of Jesus Christ through my life? It sounds like being gospel-centric. Do you know how many people are living their lives? They've gotten married, raised children. They died. Their children grew up. And they never thought about the most important message. Okay, now, the people that lived and died, where did they go to? Where are they? Oh, do you think that as their body died, that was all? What happened to them? Romans chapter 10, from verse 1. Romans chapter 10, from verse 1. This teaching is to set the ground for all we are going to be learning about this month. So this month, we are going to be doing more or less two teaching series in one. We're talking about some things we learned from CLC. I'll be trying to go back to it so that you eventually go back and listen to those teachings. And then we'll be talking about the gospel. Romans 10 from verse 1. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So that means they were not saved, right? Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That means you can be zealous. If you don't have the right knowledge, you will not be saved. In spite of your zeal, there is a kind of knowledge. There is an approved knowledge you must have. Are you getting this? There is something you must have heard, accepted for you to be saved. This is why. You know, people say things like, that guy just go to church. Ah, with all the church, where you don't carry for your head, he never changed. Be sure that he's a Christian. He may have been going to the church, but has the church coming to him? Be sure. And well, you can't really blame them for criticizing someone who has been going to church or who says he's a Christian and is not acting like so, because the Bible says faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen. So nobody knew when you believed, but if you had belief in your heart, there will be evidence outside. Are you with me? People say, don't judge me by how I act, don't judge me by how I look, just God looks at my heart. Listen, if there is anything in your heart, it's going to be demonstrated with an evidence. So we don't know what is in your heart. We cannot see what is inside there. But faith is the evidence of things not seen. So we can see an evidence in your lifestyle and know that there was faith in your heart. Are you getting this? So he says, I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So you can even go about doing your own things, thinking that your own things will get God to accept you. What is religion? Religion is man's invention to get God's approval. Religion is man's invention to get God's approval. Okay, God, if I'm nice to everybody, is niceness good? Yes, but that's not what gets you saved. Are you getting this? If I can be nice to everybody, then the Lord will accept me. And so different religions have different ways. Different religions have different things. Different things. Some are more complex than others. Praise the Lord. So, your zeal is a fruit of salvation, not a requirement for it. It's not just being zealous that will get you saved. Some people think it's zeal. No, it is surrender to the gospel that gets a man saved. Can you say after me? It is surrender to the gospel that gets a man saved. Say it again. It is surrender to the gospel that gets a man saved. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to school you. I'm trying to make you see why. The Bible says, they cried unto him in their distresses. And then he sent forth his word. Who is his word? Jesus. The gospel is God's response to all of man's problems. The gospel is God's response to all of man's problems. Because the gospel gives the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost is in you, he will show you what to do. He will lead you in the path of life. Sometimes the problem may be deeper than what you think. It may be some village people, and the Holy Ghost will send down fire and burn all those altars. Are you with me? Sometimes it may be that you need divine direction. The Holy Ghost will give you divine direction. The Bible says he's the one that teaches your hand to profit. So how do you receive the Holy Ghost? By receiving the gospel, by the saving power of Christ first. You must. Are you getting this? Oh, let's go on. Romans chapter 10 from verse 13. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Glory. Glory. Whosoever. I like that word, whosoever. Because it's no respect of title. It's no respect of social class. There's no respect. Are you with me? Yes, sir. Maybe you are here looking at me saying, oh, I don't belong to some high class, societal, egalitarian clique. But he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, the gospel will meet anybody wherever you are, no matter how high, no matter how low, no matter whether you are middle class. Are you getting this? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, see verse 14. Everybody read with me. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? See, when I study the Bible, I see a lot of things that contradict the way people do church and the way people do their Christianity right now. Do you realize that he's saying, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it is when they have believed they will call upon the name of the Lord. That means one of the signs that you have really been saved is that you call upon God. See, there is a cry from you towards God. If people are forcing you to cry, it means you've not been saved. Today we are worshiping. We tell people, lift up your hands. We force people. Can't you sing? We force people. Can't you dance? No. If you have been saved, if there is faith in your heart, now you go to cry towards God. Are you getting this? Whosoever shall call upon. In fact, it is so bad. People go to preach now and say, okay, I finished preaching. Yeah, say after me. Bros, I get a meeting. I get a meeting. Oh yeah, talk fast. Say after me, Lord Jesus. You are telling the person to, you are the one trying to force the person, but listen to the way the apostles preached. The Bible says while they preached, the people began to ask, what must we do to be saved? That means faith had come in their heart and they began to call. What must we do? That means, when you see a person who, in the summary of his Christian journey, There is no cry from him towards God. He has not heard the gospel. When in the summary of his Christian journey, they are always forcing him to cry. There is nothing pulling from him. There is nothing stemming from him. See, this cry, I can preach on that alone. The Bible says, we have received the spirit of adoption. We cry unto God, our Father. You will see that in that same service that they are forcing somebody to raise their hand, another person is somewhere already sobbing, crying, lifting up his hands in worship, kneeling down. Because the gospel of who Christ is, the revelation of the message has entered, and then he responds to God. When last did you respond to God? Or have you ever responded to God? When last was there a cry? Have you experienced an unforced rhythm of grace? Where you are not being cajoled, nobody's trying to blackmail you, but by hearing the message, you know, I need to believe. Can I tell you something? What I'm saying, in a simple way, to a person who needs to be saved, what I'm saying right now will be annoying him. You know, a great theologian said, God has sent us to feed the sheep, not to entertain the goats. This thing is very serious. So, I was talking to one of my precious, beloved, well, I say daughters now or disciples in our Lagos church. And she was telling me something that touched me deeply. She said her parents, they attend a certain church. And when she joined New Breed, her parents were concerned that, why did you join New Breed? Don't you know what we have in this church? And she was like, I know what you're talking about. That place, I'm glad I joined there. They have taken my work with God higher. And she was telling me something, that church started because some of the people in where they were coming from, they felt like we wanted, you know, people who are blessed, they have money, they have everything, but they just felt like we needed a place where we can talk about the word of God. They were in a certain denomination that, according to them, had deviated. And they came together in their house and began a Bible study. Because they were hungry for truth. I remember one time, many years ago, in the church I grew up in, they were having an all-night prayer. And at some point in the all-night prayer, one of the assistant pastors ran to one of the elders and said, Daddy, we can't go on with this all night. People are sleeping, you know. Let us do praise and worship so that they will not sleep. He now said, okay. He said, but that's a bad sign. I cannot forget. He said, if we have to do praise and worship, he said, then after the praise and worship, we have to do drama too. Because we have to do drama at some point. Putting drama here, he said, that's all good and we will do it. He said, but we need to go and pray. He said, if we have to keep the people awake with drama and entertainment, that means something is wrong. He says, where is our fire? That's what he said. Where's the fire? He said, was it not the same ministry? He was talking about when they started, where we will be with bench, no light, candlelight, but we are praying. There was no electricity, but there was fire in their spirits. Many of you, the reason why Christianity may be bought for you is that you have not experienced the real thing. You have not touched the, my God. When you touch the substance of it, have you ever wondered what made the apostles of Jesus, once upon a time, when they were threatening them, they were running away. After the Holy Ghost came, they believed the gospel, preached the gospel, and even died for the gospel. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. My heart is set ablaze with the gospel of Jesus Christ. My heart is set ablaze with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know why this teaching is very sacrosanct to me? Because God knows my heart. I'm not just looking for members. I'm looking for disciples. See. If we want here to be filled up with 5,000 people, let's just announce. Just go to all the major roundabouts, Galadima roundabouts, all the major roundabouts in this Abuja. 1,000 bags of rice to be shared for free. Oh, you will ask me, Pastor, what is going on?
What is see, Silver Bed Management called me, said, what is going on? And guess what? Jesus did it. He multiplied 5 loaves of bread. They came, by the time they came back in multiples, do you know what Jesus said? Jesus now told them, labor not for the meat that perisheth. Because he wanted to disperse the crowd that were coming for him for bread and not for truth. Guess what? That was the day you would say Jesus destroyed his ministry. They all left. Then Peter was now going to, he said, are you going to? John chapter 6, he said, where are we going to go from? You are the one with the words of life. They were looking for a bread that he gives, but they did not want the bread that he is. You must be conscious of the gospel. And guess what? There are many places that have substituted the bread of life for the bread that men can eat. Ask your neighbor, I hope you are a disciple. In this service, you will become a disciple. It says, Romans 10 verse 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. It's called the gospel of peace because all the quarrel between man and God has been reconciled. Are you with me? God is no longer angry with you. He has reconciled you to himself by Jesus Christ. He's not looking at you saying, look at this girl, look at this guy, every time in your sins. No, Christ has paid for your sins. So when he sees you struggling with sins, he's saying, I paid for this one. My blood has covered for this one. When the devil wants to accuse you and say, look at that one. You're calling that one your child, Abby. Look at what he's doing. He says, my blood has paid. So no matter how bad he is, my blood will wash him, purify him, and bring him up. It's the gospel of peace. That right now, because of Jesus Christ, there is peace between God and man. Chapter me, I believe. I believe the gospel. Then it says in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. First Corinthians 9, from verse 16 to 17, and I'll go into something else before we round off. 1 Corinthians 9. Everybody read 1 to 3, go. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. If this was real for Paul, it is real for us. He says, woe. Woe is unto us if we preach not the gospel. Woe is unto us if we spread not the gospel. See, thank God I'm not the one that wrote these things. So. If the gospel has not become part of your consciousness, you go a week, Monday to Sunday. How did I spread the gospel? Did I preach to somebody? Did I evangelize somebody? Did I share a tract? What did I do for the gospel? What did I do? What do you think was on the mind of Jesus when he hung on that cross? It was a rescue mission. To rescue mankind. Let me tell you. Beyond all that's happening in Nigeria, God's priority is still the gospel. Because let me tell you, you can feed a man's body, give him food, give him clothes. But listen, only the gospel can save his spirit, can save his soul. He says, do not fear him that can destroy your body, but fear him that can destroy your spirit and your soul in hell. That means no matter what happens to your body, if your soul and your spirit is intact, your body is a small issue. Do you know why material things are a small issue before God? If God can deal with your eternity, how much more your present? How much more your present? You are asking God, how will my next 10 years look like? But God has settled the next 1 million years.
God, when will I have a child? But he has given you family already in eternity. That means whatever you are thinking about today, it is nothing compared. Are you getting this? Your answer is closer to you than you think. I sent a word to someone. I hope you got it. Now, he says, woe is me. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16. If I preach not the gospel. So look at verse 17. He says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Verse 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed to me. Hey! So even when I don't feel like doing it, I will remember. God has committed unto me a dispensation of the gospel. Meaning, listen. You don't always have the time you have to spread the gospel. You will not always have that time. Wherever you are, in your office, in your workplace, in your school, there is a dispensation given to you. One day you will no longer be in that office. One day you will no longer be in that school. One day he will no longer be single. One day he will no longer be married without children. You will have your children. And see, at every stage of your life, you should ask yourself, what can I do for the gospel now? As my life is changing, what can I do for the gospel now? God brought it to a church that is gospel centered. What can I do for the gospel now? A dispensation. It has been committed to me. Can you say after me, the gospel has been committed to me? Open your mouth and say what I'm saying. A dispensation of the gospel has been committed to me. I know what I'm saying may be sounding strange to you, but the earlier you get it, the better for you. I remember when this thing hit me. Many, many years ago, I was in secondary school. Where the gospel is God's answer. And I vowed that wherever I go, I am a courier of the gospel. I'm not just a carrier, I'm a courier. So I'm a distributor of the gospel. I'm a distributor. I remember getting to the university and everybody was talking about making first class. I said, as I'm making my first class, what am I doing for the gospel? A dispensation of the gospel has been committed to me. It has been committed to me. Your family, are they saved? If you ever lost a loved one, see, you should ask yourself, did this person hear this gospel? Was he saved? In your estate, has the gospel spread? What have I done for the gospel? Let me tell you something. The gospel will make you a different kind of person. I remember one day going to work. Now I was working in one of the oil fields in Port Harcourt. And something happened in the morning and I was angry. I was just feeling bad about myself. Like, why would this thing happen? I think I lost money or something. You know that kind of thing where you mistakenly put your wallet somewhere and maybe you lost your wallet in a taxi. I was just feeling bad. And while I was feeling bad there, I felt the Lord tell me, preach. So I had to now ignore what I was going through. Ignore my own pain. Are you getting me? And began to preach inside that car. When I was done preaching, all the burden about what I lost had left me. I look back today. What is that thing compared to where I am right now? Some of you, the road out of where you are to where you ought to be is, what are you doing for the gospel? When you think about your life, what's your life about? What's your life about? Say after me, I am gospel-centric. Amen. Amen. So quickly, I want to touch something before I round off. One of the first things to believe about the gospel is that the gospel is about Jesus Christ. Remember, and I said there were two parts in the gospel. There is the part that talks about Jesus, who he is, and what he has done. And there's a part that talks about man. His destiny, his purpose, or his past, his purpose and his destiny. So, the gospel of Jesus Christ begins with Jesus. Say after me, it begins with Jesus. The good news about Jesus. And according to the Bible, Jesus is the Son of God. That's the first thing God wants you to believe. That Jesus is the Son of God. Say after me, Jesus is the Son of God. Some people say he's a prophet. He was more than a prophet. Some people say he's a healer. He was more than a healer. Some people say he was a good man. He was more than a good man. It must be in your consciousness that Jesus is the Son of God. Say after me, Jesus is the Son of God. So what do we mean by Jesus is the Son of God? Or what does the Bible mean when it says Jesus is the Son of God? It means that Jesus was God in the flesh. That's what Son of God means. That Jesus was God made manifest in the flesh. God taking up human flesh. I know that people wrestle with these thoughts, but that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. In fact, this was why he was killed. Do you know that that was why he was killed? Because he said he is the Son of God. And the Jews understood what Son of God meant. Son of God meant, see, the more I study this thing, the more I know that, we have been playing with Jesus. I'm serious. I'm going to show you verses in the Bible that will tremble you or make you tremble. Mark chapter 14 from verse 60. Mark 14 from verse 60. Or let's start with Matthew, please. Matthew 26 from verse 63. Matthew 26 from 63. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen. I can only imagine what it would be like when I stand before the king. I can only imagine what it would be like when I stand before the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. And his throne is beaming with light. Let me tell you something. When you stand there, that day, it will now dawn on you that everything that you've done in this world that was not relevant to his plan was useless. And like Rehan Bonkin said, it is wisdom to know what matters in the end at the beginning. You know, people think that, like I've thought before, people think that in eternity we'll just be floating. Holy, holy, holy. See, God, how are you floating? I don't know. I'm just floating in the sky. Lord God Almighty. See, I'm not conscious. I'm not myself. It's so real, that Lazarus and the rich man can talk in the eternity, in the eternal world. It is so real that the rich man in hell can say, please, I have brothers who are not saved. Can you send people to them? It is that real. In this teaching series, we'll get to it in hope of eternal life. Matthew 26, verse 63. But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. So they knew that Christ was supposed to be the Son of God. That Christ is the Son of God. Are you with me? He said, adjure thee by the living God. Tell us. You know, people say Jesus never said I'm the Son of God. This is an answer for them. They asked him, tell us whether thou be the Christ. Now, was the high priest honest? Did he really want an honest answer? Say, I pray for you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let a revelation of Christ dawn on your people right now. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, you know we are here because of you. Let this revelation dawn upon your people right now. The Bible says that just the same way they lifted up Christ in the wilderness, and they that looked unto him were healed, so those that look upon Christ shall be saved. Let me tell you, I may be preaching about Christ, but that's what your deliverance is. That's what your transformation is. Are you guys what I'm saying? He says, I judge thee by the living God. Tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. So they knew that Christ had to be the Son of God. Verse 64. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said. That's an affirmative. Thou hast said. He says, nevertheless, I say unto you, ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of God, coming in the clouds of heaven. See verse 65. Because they understood what he said. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying he had spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What does it mean, thou hast said? He was saying, I am. Let's look at it in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 60. Mark chapter 14 verse 60, please. Mark 14 verse, please, are you getting something? And the high priest, I says, answer that down nothing. What is it which these witnesses against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? So they knew Christ had to be the Son of God. I like that rendition, the Son of the Blessed. The Son of the Blessed. Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Now, look at what Jesus said in the next verse. And Jesus said, I am. I am. Hey! And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven. I am. So he agreed, I am. And you know the story. From here they killed him. But you see, God raised him from the dead. Now, look at this. Look at John chapter 10 verse 33. John 10 verse 33. The Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou being a man, maketh thyself God. So they knew what Son of God meant. Are you getting this? Can you read on verse 34? Is it not written in your law? Yeah, God. Read on. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified, and send into the world that thou blaspheme, because I said I am the Son of God. So that means they knew that Jesus saying I am the Son of God meant he was God in the flesh. You are making yourself God. So they knew that Son of God was not father, mother, children, makes a family. Father, mother, son. That's not what he was talking about. Are you getting this? There's more I could have explained, but we're out of time. Say after me, Jesus is the Son of God. God in flesh. Glory. That's the first thing to believe. That Jesus was God made manifest in the flesh. Because if you don't believe this, you will not see how powerful his death was. How can one man die for all of the world? Only God can swallow the world and still not be consumed. Look at 1 Timothy 3 verse 16. You know this one. You know this one. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He's not saying great godliness there, meaning well behaved. He's talking about the nature of God. It is the mystery of the nature of God. God was manifest in the flesh. That's what he's talking about. That's who Jesus was. God was manifest in the flesh. Are you seeing this? God, so when Jesus came, it was God that smuggled himself and came down. You know, even his siblings did not believe in him. Their mother had told them the story, but they did not believe. His brothers, James and Cole, they didn't believe in him. In fact, in John chapter 7, one time they said, if you are what you say you are, why are you doing miracles here? Go to the city and do miracles. But do you know when they believed? When after he rose from the grave, they came to tell him, okay, now you have risen up. Let's go home. So that you don't die again. They came to convince him to go back home. But he said, after giving instructions, he levitated. And he was going. And did not stop somewhere and came down. No, he went. Went through the clouds. From there, James addressed him, our Lord and God. Their mother had told them. Their mother had been telling them since. This is not a normal person. Let me show you some scriptures. The one that got me. I almost screamed into pieces last night. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. Can you put NLT? Titus 2 verse 11 to verse 13. NLT. It says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. Verse 12. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. Verse 13. While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. The apostles called him the great God. When our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He is the great God. He is the great God. Hey! So that means when men were using the nails to drive it through his hand, they were hitting God. When they spat on him, they spat on the face of God. And do you know why he did all of that? Because of you. So that by the time he has taken your place, nobody else can accuse you any longer. Hey. You have been justified by the highest power. Are you with me? Now, why is this important? This is the first thing God wants you to believe. Look at this. John chapter 20 verse 31. It says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. John 20 verse 31. Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So until you accept that he's the great God, you have rejected life. Can you say after me, Lord, I believe. This is more than religion. This is life. And let me tell you why this is important. One more thing. Every religion tells you the way to God. Christianity is God making the way to himself. God coming down and saying, you don't need to find a way. I am the way. You don't need to invent a way. And he proved it. He died, resurrected, ascended. Jump on your feet. Can you say after me, Lord, I believe. That's why I love 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 17 to verse 21. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Then in verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. To wit, verse 19, God was in Christ. Are you seeing this? God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He's not asking you, can you do more good than evil? No, he's saying, I have paid for you. Your sins will no longer be remitted to you. Are you with me? I have cleared the debt for you. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Say after me, Lord, I believe. See, listen. If you have not yet believed, now is the time. Jesus is the Son of God. Man has no excuse any longer. God came down. Are you with me? God came down to reach out to all men. Man cannot know God without the revelation, but God revealed himself to you. He revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. Can you sing with me? Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you.